Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, when's the last time you fell asleep during something you were supposed to be awake for? And was it court?
He could not keep his head up.
I never even fell asleep in class. Like, even in college, even when
never.
I was really tired.
Nope.
Even if I wanted to, I couldn't.
No, the only time I fell asleep was when I was on the Carrie campaign and we went out to see a movie and I was so tired I just passed out. We were in the first row. That's the only time I can remember falling asleep during anything when I should have been awake.
I feel like Donald Trump maybe gave Ruth Bader Ginsburg shit when she snoozed a little bit during the State of the Union. And then she said it was because she'd had a couple glasses of wine with dinner, which...
Respect.
100% respect. But like, Don, what's going on?
Here's the thing. She fell asleep during a very long speech in a room that was probably too warm. He's falling asleep in the middle of his trial. You'd think he'd be a little activated. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I can't even wrap my head around how bizarre the times are we're living through.
He's just like on a rage bender.
And he gets sleepy afterwards.
Apparently.
All right, we've got a lot of information in the show this week. We've always got information.
Chock-a-block.
A lot of information, but I think it's useful stuff, especially as we're getting toward the part of the campaign season that I think you and I have both referred to as some variation of bullshit season.
It's bullshit season.
Where everybody's looking for gaffes and reading national polls.
Killing time until there might be some real debates.
And the conventions are months away still. Like, yep. We already know who the candidates are. RFK Jr. is just kind of out there, Leland Palmering, whatever.
Being there.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of information for you today. We talk a lot about new ways that Republicans at the state level are trying to villainize abortion. Mm-hmm. Now that abortion has been on a winning streak at the ballot box for going on 2 years now, they're trying to attach new scare words to it, and we are not falling for it.
Nope.
We're also talking about a very sad small breakthrough in the bleak world of parental leave in the U.S. It now seems that more people are eligible to take time off unpaid.
Unpaid.
But at least you won't get fired.
That's upside.
We're also talking about the tragedy in Australia and how misogyny and violence are often tied together. And then we get into why North Carolina is going to be super important this fall. And
a lot of important and also batshit crazy races down there.
A lot of stuff down there. We didn't even get to talk about the lady who was literally at January 6th. There's a lady.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, January 6th lady. We'll come back to North Carolina another time. It's a lovely,
so much time.
Lovely place to revisit. And then we have a Sandy Petty that I think is extremely sane and extremely petty.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who, for once in their lives, are jealous of people in New York City who got jury duty summons this week.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about it for a second.
I need cable news to stop trying to figure out who the jurors are. I don't want to know the profile of the jurors. We cannot make it so that people can't perform their civic duty anymore because they're at risk of being doxxed. So I just need people to let it be. Just let the jurors be the jurors.
Why is that newsworthy?
I think they're trying to do like socioeconomic profiles of people who are on the jury, and they're giving such distinct marking information about their jobs and like where they live that I need them to stop. These people are already putting themselves at risk by being on this jury. We don't have to make it worse.
Yeah, that's really a good point. And, you know, I've been called for jury duty a couple times and
mm-hmm.
I've gotten out of it because, well, I can't be on a jury. I can't. I'm like in opinion partisan.
Let me tell
media.
You something. They did not care. When I was called for New York City jury, I tried every trick in the book. Worked for Obama. Don't believe in the death. Like all the things you can imagine. They were like, you're good. Sit down.
Oh, man. That's rough. Yeah, you know, I've noticed a lot of cable news has to do with authoritative prognosticating. I think if any other discipline were trying to do it, we would be like, what are you talking about? Like, it's people sitting there trying to predict the future based on you know, rather than talk about the present. And it's like, I don't know.
It's a no thank you. We don't need this. Focus on something that's actually, like, more important.
If we're going to do prognosticating, I say leave it to the pros. Like, talk to a tarot card reader. I would rather have a tarot card reader on MSNBC being like, uh-oh, the Fool, what does that mean?
Or like, talk to Nicole from 90 Day Fiancé.
No, not Nicole from 90 Day Fiancé. I'm talking like Channy. We would get somebody
She is the pro.
Exactly. But I honestly would rather sit around and like think about the future and the direction of that things are going using, like, I don't know, something a little bit more mystical than a person who went to Yale Law School trying to, like, be intuitive.
I get it. I agree. It's like, mute. Sorry. Moving on now.
What is happening? I don't really need to. And then, look, I'm prefacing this in a show where we're going to speculate on what's going to happen. But I think our listeners know, and we acknowledge that we're just trying to understand what could happen.
Right.
And the power that we have over whether or not that does happen. Okay. So first, a really dark story from overseas that I think we should nevertheless talk about because it's yet another example of how the link between misogyny, entitlement, and violence transcends cultures. It transcends countries. It is universal. If anything is universal, the link between misogyny and violence is universal. On Saturday in Sydney, Australia, a man killed 6 people and injured a dozen more in a busy shopping mall. It appears that he targeted women. One of those people who was killed was a baby. He committed the stabbings at a dress shop. His father told the media he wanted a girlfriend. He's got no social skills, and he was frustrated. Alyssa, does this sound a little bit like the way that we talk about tragedy when it happens here?
Yeah. I mean, it's excuse-making, right? It's like, well, here are the mitigating circumstances. Here's what drove him to it. Without saying that his inability to get a girlfriend may have been tethered to a million things other than women themselves.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times people rush to tie things to someone being mentally unwell. Mm-hmm. First of all, there are a lot of people walking around the world who are mentally unwell and who put in a lot of effort to managing that mental illness and putting themselves into a place where they can be productive members of society and not destroy people. Right. Secondly, I think that mental illness sure loves to glom onto misogyny. It is
funny how that works.
And when you are a man who is brought up in a society of any kind that preaches any sort of entitlement to women, and you are denied what you believe you're entitled to, and you're dealing with a complicating factor, I think that's just, it's over and over again a recipe for just violence and tragedy. And my heart goes out to the people in Australia. It was, they have really tough gun laws there.
Yeah.
He was eventually brought down by a female cop who basically, opposite Uvalde'd, she was by herself.
Charged in, yeah.
She was by herself and she ran in and didn't know exactly what she was getting into. So whatever the cops in Uvalde were, she was
the opposite
of that. And she was able to take him down. There were people in the mall who were first responders, Australian first responders, who ran from safety to help people. And so, you know, there are, I guess, moments of good humanity among this sort of explosion of bad humanity. But it's just one of those stories that makes you think, like, you can have a whole community of people who just want to, like, grow a garden.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one asshole with a gas can to just fuck the whole thing up.
Totally. And to force someone like that female cop to have to put her life on the line.
Uh-huh.
Because he was having a bad day.
Uh-huh. None of the people that put their lives on the line should have had to put their lives on the line for that.
Totally.
And it, in any mass tragedy like that, it just is, we look for moments to celebrate, you know, we sort of, to quote Mr. Rogers, we look for the helpers.
Totally.
But they shouldn't have had to do that.
Nope.
They shouldn't have had to do that.
Nope.
Okay. So going back stateside, we're going to talk a little bit about the new ways that Republicans are trying to message their untenable stance on abortion.
We see them.
We see them. Alyssa, let's talk a little bit about this.
All right. Aaron? So, like you said, we're seeing upsetting trends in states with Republican-led legislatures. Did a little deep dive with the North Carolina Newsline. GOP states like Kansas, Louisiana, and Tennessee are pushing bills that would outlaw abortion coercion or trafficking. In other words, forcing someone to get an abortion or helping them get one out of state where it is legal. Republicans keep pushing these and other anti-abortion bills, even though they're widely unpopular, especially in states like Kansas. So, Aaron, let's talk about abortion coercion and the bill that is on deck in Kansas. At first blush, you're like, yeah, no one should be forced to have an abortion, right?
Right. That's what part of what reproductive justice is. Everyone makes their own decisions.
Right. See, themselves. But that's where the dodginess sort of sets in. So here we go. It's going to start with Kansas. Republican legislators in Kansas continue to introduce bills related to abortion despite Kansas voters' overwhelming rejection of abortion bans in a referendum shortly after the Dobbs decision in 2022. Abortion is legal in Kansas and six clinics provide in-clinic services. But right now, House Bill 2436, which is still awaiting action by the governor, Laura Kelly, a Democrat, this bill addresses abortion coercion, making it a felony to pressure someone into an abortion, including doctors. Okay. Right?
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay. This, okay. I'm going to stop right here because I'm—
Please.
Okay. I got to say this. The people writing these laws are depending on the people that they're trying to reach never having had any interaction with an abortion provider.
Yep.
And because here's the thing. A friend of mine who was found herself pregnant, was married, but not like in a, economically, it wasn't like a great time. Yeah. Found herself pregnant, couldn't really like afford healthcare. She wanted to have the baby, but was just like, I don't know if I can do this. She went to Planned Parenthood for like an exam, you know, when she found out she was pregnant. And the people at Planned Parenthood like listened to her and talked to her. And she said they kind of like, after talking to them, she realized that she could do it. Like, you don't, they're not selling you on anything.
No.
They're selling you on making the right decision for yourself. And like, I've never experienced anything but compassion and care from people who provide abortions or people who work.
They're not abortion pushers.
No. They would prefer not to have to do it if you don't want to. Like, they're not, it's myth-making. They're trying to make abortion providers into just monsters. And I've only seen them ever operate with compassion.
Yes.
I mean, why would you go into that line of work if you didn't have a compassionate approach?
Well, isn't that kind of telling on themselves?
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
Yeah,
because
that's true.
They're not. They can't believe that people working at Planned Parenthood just want the best for someone who comes in. They believe, because they operate from a place of only being motivated by agenda, that everybody else is too, or they're projecting that. And it's really sad and pathetic. But Aaron, I was like, you know, older lady, really can't sleep much anymore. It's pretty terrible, but it did give me time to do a little Google rabbit hole on coerced abortions. Because I'm like, why is this such a thing they think they need to legislate, that they need to prevent?
Mm-hmm.
And I found the Center Against Forced Abortions, Aaron. It lives under the umbrella of the Justice Foundation, which is based in San Antonio, Texas. On the landing page for the group, which is the landing page, fairly innocuous. They're just like, it's like resource. It's like pretty straightforward. However, once you look up top, you can click on the moral outcry button, which has a petition to make abortion illegal in all 50 states and has over 500,000 signatures. They state at the Center Against Forced Abortions that abortion is a crime against humanity, kills babies, and hurts women. They also say that new science shows that life begins at conception, including IVF.
Okay.
So, once again, not so much about safeguarding, more about their crazy policy.
Yeah, this also concerns me because I think a lot of times, especially if you're younger and you find yourself pregnant and maybe you were brought up in a religious tradition or around mm-hmm. people that were really judgmental about abortion, sometimes when you talk to a friend, what you are looking for is permission from them to be like, you want to have an abortion, but in your head, you're just like, I feel like it's bad. I feel like I should feel
bad. I just want someone to tell me I'm not a bad person.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And that's not coercion. That is just empathy. That is just listening to them, listening to what they're saying, listening to where they're at, and being like, how you're feeling is okay. What you want is okay. You want to move on with your life right now. You're not ready to be pregnant, give birth, and be a mother. So move on with your life. And maybe later in your life, you will be ready for those things. Maybe not.
Right.
But maybe later in your life, you'll be ready for those things. And don't you want to be the best mother you can possibly be? In which case, you should wait until you feel like you're ready. Could I get arrested in Kansas if this law, if this bill became
law? Who knows? That's the thing about everything they're doing, Erin. It is so, like, they're just confusing people to no end, such that you have no idea what you can or cannot do, except that if you err on the side of not having an abortion, you're probably safer.
No,
as it relates to the law.
Okay, but as it relates to your life, a pregnancy is so many, many, many fold times more dangerous mm-hmm. than having an abortion. And having a child is also very, you know, whatever.
It's right.
This is stupid. Okay, so they're also trying something like this in Louisiana.
Yeah. Abortion is banned at any stage of pregnancy in Louisiana, with exceptions to save a pregnant patient's life, preserve their health, or for fatal fetal anomalies.
Hmm.
So what are they doing? Well, Senate Bill 276, which is awaiting consideration in the Louisiana Senate, creates a new law to make it a crime to force someone to take abortion medication. Now, Erin, again, doesn't that kind of, you shouldn't force anything on anybody.
Right.
Right?
Well, the legislation I've read was sponsored by Senator Thomas Presley, whose sister was the Texas woman, right?
Yep.
Who was forced to take abortion pills without her knowledge, which should absolutely be a crime.
Correct. It's poisoning.
It's poisoning. Like but I think that that's already illegal, right?
Right.
Like, and the Catherine Herron, the woman in Texas, she experienced complications. Her child was born with some challenges, mm-hmm. I think some developmental delays. Her husband was only sentenced to 180 days in prison and 10 years of probation. Whereas if he had been a doctor doing it to a woman who asked for it to be done, he would have gotten a greater prison sentence. So that is bullshit. I think we can acknowledge that the Mason Herring thing was total bullshit. But
complete.
I don't know that this case should be weaponized.
No.
In the way that it is being weaponized.
This was a bad man who did a bad thing. And you and I both know that this law is not about that. It's not about making sure that someone like Catherine always has a choice and that nothing can be forced on her. It's about making sure that there are more babies on this planet.
Yeah. More babies that can be adopted by Christian couples taken away from
ding.
Okay, we also have something similar in Tennessee. The Tennessee one was okay, so trafficking.
This was, it was confusing even to me for a minute.
So here's the thing. Trafficking, I think, is a buzzword that Republicans mm-hmm. have found lands with a lot of people who always think they're about to be kidnapped in a Walmart parking lot.
Pedophile. I feel like trafficking and pedophile go together.
There's a sort of like QAnon light.
Yep.
White woman in Target in her car being like, I almost got kidnapped. No, you didn't. You did not, Chloe. You did not almost get you did not almost get trafficked. A paper bag next to your car did not mean you were almost sex enslaved. You are really, really up your own ass. If that's what you think, if you think that it's, yeah. Anyway.
I can't.
However, that word I think is like pretty sticky on social media and it tends to garner virality for people who are looking for virality. And I think that Tennessee is like, okay, great. We will attach the word trafficking mm-hmm. to the notion of getting an abortion in a state where it's actually legal, because in Tennessee, almost all abortions are banned. So House Bill 1895 would make it a misdemeanor to assist a minor in obtaining an abortion, referring to it as trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing.
Tell me.
Trafficking in the social media TikTok freakout sense, means that you were almost forced to have your body used for something that you did not right. consent for it to be used for.
Right.
Driving a minor to another state for an abortion is enabling that minor to not have her body be used for something.
It's almost the opposite.
It is pretty much, I mean, yes, she's getting in a car. There might be some traffic. But I think they're kind of opposite things. I think that, you know, most people who have abortions say, especially if you were like a teenager and you had one, you could be like, whew, I am unencumbered as a result of that procedure. Now we're seeing that trafficking is bringing a minor to a different state, including the act of obtaining abortion pills, regardless of where the pills were obtained. So that counts as trafficking. That is a real
stretch.
That's a stretch. But, you know, I think that it's very fascist messaging. Take a word that everyone acknowledges as bad. Mm-hmm. Say that the bad word applies to a thing that you don't like.
Absolutely.
There you go. There you go. And just to flag this, Tennessee and Louisiana, along with Arkansas, Mississippi, and Kentucky, have the worst maternal mortality rates in America from the years 2018 to 2021. So.
Yep. Just need to say that. Maybe they could be focusing on other things.
Yeah. It's not about the babies. It's not about the moms. It's about
control.
It's about control. We do have some. I don't want to say this is good news.
It's a step in the right direction.
It is not a step in the wrong direction. I will.
There you go.
I will
That's better.
I will couch it thusly. Okay, so anybody in the U.S. who has had a baby has probably encountered the absolute gobsmacking shit show that it is to try to take leave. There is a program in this country called FMLA, the Family and Medical Leave Act, which guarantees 12 weeks of unpaid leave after the birth or after the birth of a child or to take care of a sick family member. It's unpaid. At the end of it, you are supposed to be guaranteed the right to return to a job that is similar to your job. FMLA does what it does, but it sort of fucking sucks. It's unpaid. It only applies to people who work at companies with 50 employees or more who have been at that company for at least a year. So about half of American workers don't qualify for FMLA and have to rely on the largesse of their employers to be like, okay, no, it's fine. You don't qualify, but we'll still like, you know. But they could still by law like just fire you when you were away on leave.
Yeah.
And it's unpaid. And it leaves out so many people. So according to the 19th, now almost all American workers will be able to take the same unpaid time off after childbirth or for an abortion, thanks to the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. So the law passed in 2022, but this week the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, has finally clarified how the legislation will function. So basically, if you work anywhere for and you have worked there for any length of time and you are having a pregnancy-related something, whether that is a birth or an abortion or, like, you know, care after a miscarriage, I'm assuming, as well, you are entitled to take up to 6 weeks off, unpaid, and you can come back to your job. And your employer is required to make reasonable accommodations for you. So
it is the lowest hanging of fruits.
Yes, you can't be fired for taking leave to take care of a baby anymore. The reason that this is, you know, now enacted is because there were people who were going back to work when their babies were like 2 weeks old.
Right.
Which is like crazy.
Insane.
With my first child, I could not even like sit comfortably
after
2 weeks. Like if you have a C-section, it's even worse. Like you are... you don't want to, postpartum
is
not great.
If you have a C-section, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but this was the case for a good friend of mine. After the C-section, she wasn't even supposed to carry the baby up and down the stairs for a week and a half.
Yes, but you're also supposed to somehow take the baby to a checkup 2 days later.
Confounding.
Yeah, you're supposed to take the baby to a checkup like 2 days later so they can weigh them. Why don't they do house calls? It's all really stupid. We do it the stupidest way possible in this country.
It's absolute the stupidest way. When you read stuff like this, you have to assume that the people at the EEOC, when wading through the 100,000 comments.
I am so curious about this.
I tried to get in. I tried to see, but they've been shut off. They were closed because it was done, but I tried to see it. I tried to
Can we FOIA them? I think we should be able to FOIA them.
Let's do it.
They're probably going to charge us like $80 to print out all those.
You know what? Let me treat you.
Oh, wow. Early birthday present from Melissa.
Early birthday for you. We're going to FOIA the comments and drink them over tea on FaceTime.
I'm just really curious because I think, you know, the EEOC, when it comes to like new rules, it's whatever. I'm going to get in the weeds. But the Federal Register will like have a comment period for things like this. And people can be like, this is what I think about, you know, whatever. And apparently 96,000 of the 100,000 comments were about abortion. Now, I'm wondering if they were like, what about if I have an abortion? Or if they were like, this better not be for abortions. Or if it was some combination.
I mean, we know who's the most mobilized when it comes to writing shitty comments on things.
Yeah. Although, I think that the left is getting better at shitposting.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
But I'm really curious what those comments were. I could see there being some kind of coordinated effort to try to get people to comment on this to make it so whatever. There are some exceptions here. So if you're a person who works for a religious employer, you can be denied the right to take leave after an abortion. I'm just saying this. Just fucking lie. Just lie. Like, whatever.
It's, what are they going to do?
They lie to us all the time. Just lie. I'm saying it. I endorse. Just fucking lie.
They are not entitled to your truth in this matter.
You don't get a trophy for fucking yourself over. Just lie. This is a good, this is an okay lie. This is a good lie.
It's totally fine.
But, you know, if you work for the state of a place like Texas also where abortion is banned, basically, you can't take this leave either. I would recommend, if you can, getting the hell out of Texas. But that's just
absolutely
me. If you have the ability to, you could go ahead and...
You know, you have to think, Aaron. So using Texas as an example... Do you have to provide, like, a doctor's note? Like, how is this enforceable, I guess, is my point.
I don't know. Maybe they should give out T-shirts after abortions that say, I just had an abortion.
I did it.
Or, if I did it. Or, R.I.P. O.J. So this is the another thing that's, like, I don't know. A lot of these rules, to me, do not get publicized enough. I think a good example of, like, moms... feeling like they don't have the rights that they have is like the PUMP Act. There's a law on the books right now that if you are a breastfeeding mom, you're entitled to a private room with a door that locks and reasonable breaks and a mini fridge. I think a place to store your milk.
Did that come around like 2015, 2014?
It has been a law for quite some time.
Yeah.
And a lot of employers just straight up don't provide that space for you. And no, they cannot make you go into the bathroom. That is against the law. It has to not be a bathroom. They have to do that for you. And so many places don't do it for you. And I think there are a lot of people who don't know that they can like complain about it. Like you're breaking the law.
You know what? Maybe let's find a couple good links to post in show notes today about what people are entitled to when they're having children.
Yeah, I mean it's not very much. It is not very much.
No, it's like
the
PUMP Act and the Pregnancy Fairness Act.
Yeah, but I think that one of the problems here is that a lot of the women that this would benefit are not necessarily people that are like opening the 19th newsletter every morning and being like, what's going on in the world of reproductive justice? I think that there are people that maybe are disempowered and aren't really, they don't have as much information. And so they wouldn't even know when their rights are being violated. And so I think it's just really important for us to like get the word out. If you have, you know, friends and family, let them know that this is something now and their employers have to do this. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that, you know, if employers are like, no, what repercussion, like, what recourse do you have? Do you have to, like...
Right. You have to file a complaint with the EEOC, right?
I believe so, but that can take a long time.
It can.
And so by the time that's all done, you're just like, okay, well, not pregnant anymore.
Because this is actually, now that the rule is finalized, that is one of the things people can do now is they can sue.
I think the EEOC has a website that you can file stuff on.
Yep. They do. I was on it this morning.
Whoa. Were you complaining about me, Alyssa?
Erin, never. I was finding the official statement they put out because I wanted to see the details.
So, yeah, we still don't have paid leave in this country, and this is, it's still fucking bullshit. And we have Joe Manchin and every Republican in the Senate to thank for that because we were so, so close.
So close.
So close, but now we don't have it. And this is the best that we have now. And it's
as good as it gets.
It still sucks. It's better. It sucks slightly less than what it was before, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, oh, Alyssa, what MSNBC host would say this? North Carolina, come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Twist it round your head. Spin it like a helicopter. As Petey Pob would say, that's my Ari Melber.
Oh, what? I was like, is that Chris Hayes? It's not a woman. That's all I knew. It's not a woman.
No. That's Ari. Ari Melber loves to quote like hip hop lyrics. And every time we've been going into North Carolina stuff, I just think about that Petey Pob song that was like playing at every bar when I was underage in college.
Do you know what my parents love to say when you're on Ari Melber?
What?
Aaron's on with the hip hop guy.
I think he would probably think that was funny. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, North Carolina.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people whose Instagram recommendations were absolutely chock full of slays from the WNBA draft red carpet this weekend.
Whoa.
Oh.
Nonstop. It was the elusive first picture that pops up that vaporizes when you open Instagram.
Uh-huh.
But luckily, there were so many more behind it.
Who gave Angel Reese the right? That is my question. What?
Incredible.
That orange carpet for the WNBA draft mm-hmm. was more glamorous and stylish and cool than
all the award shows.
Yeah, man. It was.
Honestly.
I also was thinking as I was like looking at pictures of it and footage and stuff, you know who would love this?
Who?
Prince. The late singer Prince.
Absolutely.
He was so obsessed with tall, strong women that when the Minnesota Lynx won the WNBA title, he invited the entire team over to his house and he did a private concert for them because he loves very tall women.
Prince forever.
I know you. I hope that on his Instagram in heaven, he just got to see as many photos of like
just
Cameron
scrolling
and, yes,
with delight and glee.
Camila Cardoso in that red suit, just looking like absolute the picture of glamour. Yeah. Great.
That's great.
Great stuff. Okay. So today we wanted to spend some of our news time highlighting North Carolina's role in the upcoming election. So I know this is like, North Carolina is always important because Shaniqua McClendon is our political director. And
yes.
She is from North Carolina. So always an important state, right? But it's like legitimately
a thing.
A thing this time around. The state was Biden's narrowest loss in the 2020 election, which I didn't know.
I didn't either.
Yeah, he barely lost the state. His campaign has really been putting in a lot of effort on the ground in North Carolina. They've been visiting the state. They've set up field offices in the state. Donald Trump, by the way, has no field offices anywhere, really. I think
he's just busy trying not to fall asleep in his trial.
Oh, God. His plan is the plan of a lot of hot people in bed. He's just going to lay there.
Oh, yeah, he's a fish.
Campaign-wise, he's just going to show up and be like, here I am. Isn't that enough?
It's so interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his plan is. But, you know, again, we can't predict the future.
We can only comment on what's happening.
But North Carolina votes matter way beyond the presidency. Democratic wins further down ballot could help Joe Biden. There's also one race. Every election cycle, there's like a few races that are like the bonkers races, right?
Like beyond bonkers.
Like the Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs race for governor in Arizona was a bonkers race. Mm-hmm. This cycle's bonkers race is the race for governor in North Carolina between Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who Donald Trump described as MLK.
Bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers. Donald Trump described him as MLK on steroids. I listened to him do some speeches. At first, I was like, Donald Trump, learn about another black person and stop comparing all black people to the one.
Well, he only knows MLK and Kanye. Those are his two.
Right. But I did listen to Robinson speak, and he doesn't sound like MLK on steroids.
At all.
He sounds like MLK on PCP. Like a glass-punching drug. You know, like not a weightlifting drug, a drug.
He has
like,
a lot to work out inside himself.
I don't think he should be around other people. I don't think it's safe.
I agree.
He doesn't seem like a safe person. He supports a total abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest. And we all know that exceptions don't even matter anyway.
Right.
Exceptions are just fake.
But that's why it makes them so easy to just fakely support. Like,
right.
He could just do it because we know it's fake, but he can't even do that.
Don't give them ideas.
Sorry.
Anyway, but no exceptions, basically. If he opposes same-sex marriage, okay, 2014. his opponent is Democrat Josh Stein, who seems perfectly nice. And if North Carolinians want to have access to reproductive rights in their state, Stein has to win. Absolutely has to win. This kind of reminds me of another gubernatorial race between a crazy person and a guy named Josh. Pennsylvania, Mastriano versus Josh Shapiro.
God bless.
Right.
We need all the, bring us the Joshes.
Crazy v. Josh. North Carolina edition. This Mark Robinson has said some, oh my gosh, Alyssa, you've got some Robinson.
I've got some.
Choice.
I got some. There's so many. All right, here we go. Aaron, here are some of his absolute worst.
Okay.
In 2017, Robinson posted a meme referring to Representative Frederica Wilson of Florida as a, quote, lying liberal, bottom-feeding pond scum, and, quote, dressing like a rejected drag queen from Brokeback Mountain.
There weren't any drag queens in that movie.
He's just, we know that. He's never watched Brokeback Mountain.
Does he think that Drag Race is about cowboys and Brokeback Mountain is about drag queens?
It is.
It's the opposite, Mark.
So bad. He hates women of color a lot. He took particular aim at former First Lady Michelle Obama, calling her an angry, anti-American, communist black lady, and saying
she's black?
That's what I'm learning.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm learning.
Okay.
Saying she speaks ghetto. And now here's the thing. He wrote Wookiee. I think he means wokey, but I'm not sure.
It would actually be cool if Michelle Obama was secretly really into Star Wars and did speak Wookiee.
Here's another one. In October of 2017, he referred to Congresswoman Maxine Waters as old Maxine Pad Waters.
Okay.
Why is he talking about maxi pads? Like, know your limitations, even as an absolute fringe lunatic. Know your limitations.
Is that the reference he was trying to make?
I think so.
Sometimes I feel like there's a certain type of fringe lunatic Republican who is so online, in a part of the online where I will never go, that I'm like, I don't even follow. Like, what are you trying to say? What is this joke? What is this reference?
Can you diagram the sentence for us? Because we don't get it.
Exactly. You know how, like, in China, censorship means that a lot of, like, political humor is told through, like, imagery and puns and double entendres in, like, pictures?
Yep.
But in order to understand the humor, you have to speak Chinese and understand, like, the tonal variations
yep.
of different words. This is like the lowest lowbrow version of that. I'm like, I don't know whence are you referring? I do not understand any of this stuff. Ugh.
He is an exhausting person. There's also one other thing I want to read, which was from a sermon he delivered in July 2020.
What is he in the church of? Like a sermon just, does he just?
He's just sermoning.
A freelance sermonologist?
Yeah, he's just like, I'm here and I have things to say.
Okay,
and
but
what
it's
he
a,
had to say.
But it's in a church?
This, yeah.
Okay.
In a previously unreported sermon he delivered in July 2020, Robinson said, quote, we need our men to stand up and teach our young men how to be men. Okay? And when I say men, I mean manly men. This is some Donald Trump gobbledygook unlike anything else. I'm talking about the kind of manly men that they want to say, you're a male chauvinist pig, or you're full of machismo. You better believe I am. God put that in me to be a man.
What the fuck does that mean?
That is like, that's not even Mad Libs. Like there are too many crazy words. Mad Libs actually make more sense.
That sort of mentality makes me nostalgic for the time of whaling, when men would go in large groups into the sea. Never to return. No, we need something. We need to, like, make electronic whales that they think that they're getting, because we don't want them killing real whales. But I just need there to be some kind of reason for them to just disappear into the sea.
Go away.
Go away.
Just go away.
What are you doing for anybody? What is
about
this?
Anything?
You're just saying the word man over and over again and getting angry at women for being more productive and valuable than you.
Nicer,
cooler, more pro-social.
Chill.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's a little bit more about North Carolina, moving on from Robinson. North Carolina has 16 electoral votes.
That's not nothing.
That's not nothing. They've got a Democratic governor currently. Mm-hmm. They're a red state that can elect Democrats. I wouldn't say they're like Pennsylvania, where they're sort of like lean blue at this point.
They're like doing it in North Carolina. They're really feeling it in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Pennsylvania is like, they tried it on. They were like, I like this. They got rid of their old.
Feels right.
Yeah, they got rid of their old wardrobe. They're like, this is how I dress now. I'm Diane Keaton in a Nancy Meyers movie. Gone are the days of my skinny jeans. Anyway, that's just me. That's just my personal sartorial journey. If a Republican wins governorship, North Carolinians will see a 6-week abortion ban and more extreme right-wing legislation, partly because the legislature is gerrymandered all to fuck.
Yep.
It is gerrymandered all to fuck, and there is a Democrat who, after a series of very suspicious meetings and moves, switched to the Republican Party, giving the Republican Party a veto-proof majority.
Right.
So the situation in North Carolina is tenuous.
It is. And the thing that's interesting was one of the things I saw when we were reading is the polls are getting a little bit better in North Carolina.
Better, like, more reliable, or better, like, they look—
Better, like, there are fewer night terrors.
Okay.
Because in general, you know how we feel about polls. But in the past month, Stein is ticking up against Robinson.
Okay.
Stein is up 8 points against Robinson now in the most recent Quinnipiac poll. Trump is still up, though, +2 against Biden.
Okay.
So it feels like if this were a trend that continued, Robinson is so batshit that even people who support Trump are like, yikes, bridge too far. That Stein could help Biden in North Carolina, potentially.
Yeah, and I also think Democrats don't need to get too tangled up in their messaging here. They don't necessarily, I mean...
Less crazy.
Yeah, I think that they're... I think that their steady, slow release of batshit insane clips from Oppo researchers of Mark Robinson being nuts, I think that's, like, not going to hurt them. But I think that the most important thing is, like, this is a vote for whether or not you think that the government should be making decisions about your body. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, it's, it, that's it. Like, you vote for, it doesn't really, like, there's some chatter I've heard about Stein being Jewish, because I don't think North Carolina's ever had a Jewish governor before, and mm-hmm. people are concerned that people, you know what, honestly, even if you're, like, a person who is uncomfortable with electing somebody who is from a demographic that's never been elected before in your state, it doesn't, that, none of that matters. What matters is electing the Democrat will protect bodily autonomy, electing the Republican will not. That's it. That
plain and
is
simple.
It.
There's plain and simple.
Everything else is just like, it doesn't matter as much. It's a simple choice. Do you think that there should be, the government should stand between a woman, a pregnant person, and their healthcare decisions? Or do you think that's fucking creepy? Because I think
I vote fucking creepy.
I vote fucking creepy too. Okay, so we are feeling, I don't know. We're interested in North Carolina.
I was going to say we're feeling engaged.
We're feeling engaged with North Carolina. We'll be keeping an eye on North Carolina. North Carolina listeners, hysteria@crooked.com, if you've got some insight into how things feel over there, if you've got some insight on the
vibes.
Send us tips. Send us, you know, thoughts. If you want to vent, you can vent to us.
Anything.
Anything you want.
We read it.
We are here. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for those baffled by Nike's Olympics uniforms for the track and field athletes.
What was that?
Where do the labia go? There is no room for the labia. Who did this?
I don't know. That was such a yikes.
Why? Nike is fucking up big time. We did an episode of How Did We Get Here, the Saturday mm-hmm. episode of What a Day that I co-host with Max Fisher.
Right.
Which is a lot of fun. And if you're not already listening, you should tune in because it's kind of like a nerd out deep dive.
It's awesome. Podcast. I love every episode.
It's super fun. We did an episode about the baseball uniforms fracas,
yep.
which expanded into a conversation about why do clothes suck right now. And the reason they suck in like the sporting arena is kind of because Nike just kind of like outsources some of it, and it's just everyone's kind of phoning it in, and everybody's trying to save mm-hmm. money. Nobody really cares about making a good product anymore. And this is just I cannot believe. Do you think there were any women on the design committee for this?
There could not have been. There could not have been.
Nike better be paying for swoosh shaped bikini waxes.
I was gonna say, and yeast infection medicine.
How are you supposed to run in that?
Those outfits were a yeasty waiting to happen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember thong bodysuits that—
Oh, like, boy.
Talk about— I mean, that's literally, like, the conceit behind these things.
Yes.
It's just like, what are you guys— I hope that the track and field athletes are able to figure something out. I would literally cut the crotch in mine and, like, tie it off to the side.
Something. You have to do something.
And wear, like, some biker shorts or something.
It was an outrage.
It looks terrible. It looks terrible, and I hope that there are people that are in trouble.
Very much trouble.
Okay. Some announcements for the class. It's 2024. We're facing another election with unprecedented stakes.
If you're not sure how to make an impact, Vote Save America's Anxiety Relief Program will route your recurring donations directly to grassroots organizations and down-ballot candidates who need it most at that exact moment.
Alyssa, I never think of you as having a regional accent, but for me, that word is route.
Okay, so I struggled with it.
But I think that's one of those things, depending on what part of the country you're from, it's route or route. We will both route and route it.
See, I think of them as different words.
Oh,
like,
really?
I go on a route or I route something someplace.
I think of a route like a fight, but it's spelled differently. Anyway.
That's a row.
Yes. With your help, they raised over $210,000 of recurring donations from over 4,700 donors just in March alone.
Your donations help to support the work of the Black Male Initiative, Freedom Block Ohio, and Detroit Action, who are working to increase voter turnout and political power among Black communities, plus other organizations mobilizing for voter registration this year.
Let's keep this momentum going. Head to VoteSaveAmerica.com to set up a recurring donation today. Paid for by Vote Save America. VoteSaveAmerica.com, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Oh, this weekend, folks, if you're in LA.
This is exciting.
This is like the last event probably I'm going to be able to like hoist myself to before I have to just like formulate an ass groove in my own couch and sit there until this baby comes. But this weekend, if you're in LA on Sunday, I will be joining Pod Save America hosts Tommy Vitor, Dan Pfeiffer, and Jon Favreau live at the Festival of Books. Come see me and, you know, the rest of the crew and grab tickets at crooked.com/events. Okay. Time for Sanity Corner /I Feel Petty. Alyssa, I'm going to start with a Sanity Corner.
Oh,
there are two new episodes of beloved Australian children's show Bluey currently available to stream on Disney Plus. It is a real treat. Most of the time when new episodes come out in Australia, it takes like quite some time for them to get to us. And so as a result, sometimes what happens in those episodes gets spoiled because like these people in Australia.
Yeah.
Are posting about Bluey on, say, the Bluey subreddit, which is a very active—
Where one can find themselves in the middle of the night.
Where one may find themselves. The Bluey subreddit is intense, though. I kind of have to, like, I'll go in there every, like, couple weeks and be like, what's everyone talking about? But I remember one time there was, like, a post where someone was like, I don't think that it makes me feel bad that their house is so nice. I think it's like, economic shaming. And I was like, it's a fucking cartoon.
It's because, speaking of, wait, Bluey, you are a huge fan of Miss Rachel.
I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of the fact that my daughter leaves me alone when Miss Rachel
Fine.
Is on.
But did you see what Miss Rachel did in New York?
What did she do?
Miss Rachel came out against Mayor Adams.
Good for her. I've been saying she should run for president. I think she could
Rachel
win.
Came out and was very, like, totally lovely, and she did this direct to camera about how upsetting it is being in New York to see the mayor cutting funding for kids programs. And I was like, is this the Miss Rachel that my sister and Aaron speak of? And I'm like, scrolled back, and I was like, good for her.
Future Senator Miss Rachel. Imagine if Fred Rogers would have, like, run for office.
I mean, maybe. He would have shamed everybody into camaraderie.
I mean, it would have been like Mr. Rogers goes to Washington, like a little
bit. He'd have been like, Ted Cruz, who hurt you?
Now, is that very nice?
No.
Bluey. Okay, so Bluey is this like show. There's a bajillion episodes, but they're all like 5 minutes long. And it really can get you in the heartstrings. There is an episode that is a regular length that came out, and there's an episode that's 28 minutes long that feels a little bit like it could be the show.
Like a novella.
The show kind of wrapping up. We're not sure if it's done or not. The people who make the show have been working very hard for years and years to put out as much content as they're putting out. And so I think they're all taking a break. But this, like, 28-minute episode, Alyssa.
What?
I almost can't even talk about it without getting...
Did you cry?
I saw a clip from the end of it that is, like, 15 seconds long. And I'm, like, crying thinking about it.
I'm getting teary-eyed just imagining you thinking about it.
This show is something... It is whatever black magic they used in the first 5 minutes of the film up, they sprinkle it throughout the show... It surprises you from around the corner. You're like, wow, I'm watching a kid's cartoon about dogs, and suddenly there's a flashback to one of the adult dogs being a puppy, and you're just like, whoa! Like, it is anyway, it's crazy. My daughter started watching it this morning, and we had to turn it off to get her ready, and my husband and I were like, we're going to watch this tonight. It's like event TV.
It's like the Bluey potential final episode and like the finale of Succession. It's like, can't miss them.
Exactly. But there
co-viewing is co-viewing experience.
There is slightly less swearing in Bluey. They don't really.
That tracks.
They don't really swear, the dogs. Another thing that happened in this episode of Bluey, I hope it's not the last episode, just selfishly, because it's such great TV. But there was a queer couple introduced. Very, like everything in the show, it was done very nonchalantly.
Right.
It was just, there's a little chihuahua named Pretzel, I believe, and Pretzel's got two moms. And it just wasn't, no big deal was made out of it. It was just, like, a matter of fact.
Here they are.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope we could see more of Pretzel and Pretzel's two chihuahua moms in future.
I mean, honestly, I feel blessed that I've watched very few episodes because I feel like I have a lifetime ahead of me of Bluey consumption.
Yeah, some of them are really good. Some of them are, like, definitely more for kids. Some of them are, like, there's – I'll send you a list offline.
Dude, please. I actually would enjoy it.
So Bluey and the extra large episode is my sanity corner this week. Alyssa, how about you?
I'm feeling super petty.
Ooh.
Like, extremely petty.
I want to hear this. I'm so excited.
Okay. Aaron, Meghan Markle, girl, why must you? So she announced her American Riviera Orchard a month or so ago to much fanfare. And of course—
same time that Kate was missing, by the way.
Yeah. Everyone's missing. Charles has cancer. Kate's missing. She's dropping a new line. That frankly, objectively, the branding of which when it was dropped looked like something that was going to be, we were going to be told was like a collaboration by and between American Riviera Orchard and TJ Maxx. Like, it didn't look, you know, it looked kind of like a knockoff of the Magnolia Table, Joanna Gaines whole franchise. You know, there are a lot of people came out and they were like, had a lot to say, and I was like, let Meghan be Meghan. But then she did me dirty, Erin. Do you want to know the first product that she dropped?
I have an idea, but I want you to say it.
It was strawberry jam. And I just, oh, girl, if you want, listen, the jamming and pickling and preserving community, they're a tight-knit bunch, okay? They workshop a lot online. They are constantly showing mistakes they've made or how they've come to, a great recipe that they've come up with. There are catastrophes. There's pots boiling over. It looks like SVU crime scenes, you know, crossover episode with Ina Garten, just like strawberry sludge all over the sink. And she's got these, like, labels, like she's not even pretending like she made the jam, which I guess is better. That would annoy me more. But I just want to be like, I don't know. Do you know what pectin is? Does your jam have pectin in it? Like, what's your ethos? What's your aesthetic? What's your goal? What's your North Star with your jam?
What are you doing with this jam that other people are not doing?
Right. Like, how are you different than Smucker's or Bon Maman? Like, give us the backstory, my friend. And there was just none of that. And it was just...
And it's just plain strawberry?
It was just strawberry. And I mean, which, like, strawberry, don't get me wrong. I'm a purist when it comes to a lot of fruits, you know? But Here's my thing. Now, you know, because you have received many a jar of jam from me,
yes,
that I label that shit all myself, everything by hand. I cut every piece of fruit. I wash it. I pick some of it. I hot can process it and I label it. She's not even labeling her own jars. And if you actually look at the pictures from the New York Post, the labels aren't even affixed properly.
Ugh.
And I know she didn't do that herself. And I just feel like, I don't know, stick to your polo show.
I will defend Meghan Markle until I'm blue in the face from the stupidity of the royal family.
Totally. 100%.
They were awful to her, and I will 100%, well, like, fuck them. Fuck them for the way they treated her. But that can be true, and she can also be annoying. And she's being—
It's annoying.
She's being annoying. I don't know. Every time there's a new thing, I'm just sort of like, who is this for? Like, what—
Right.
What is this audience? Like, I don't understand. Like, they're doing a new Netflix show now about polo.
Yeah, with Ralph Lauren, I think. Like, okay cool.
at a time when the Eat the Rich clock is closer to midnight than it has ever been in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? We've got like, people are grave dancing every time a rich person dies from something stupid or something regular. Like, nobody is afraid to celebrate bad things happening to rich people.
Yep.
Even if sometimes it's like, oof, that's a little rough.
Yikes. You're,
but it has still become way more socially acceptable. What are you doing? What are you doing, Megan?
It's like she's
Polo
made something
show?
I love so much, so boring.
But, like, I just, what are you, like, I like, the polo reality show, I'm bumping up against that. So, like, what, like, so the horse game, you want us all to be like, we love, yeah, you're such a regular
there we go.
Lady.
Yeah, it's literally the most, I think it's, like, the most expensive sport you can engage in.
Well, Fabergé egg baseball, I think, is a little bit more.
You know what, Erin, you've got me once again.
A little bit more expensive than playing polo, but it's just, like, What are you doing? Are you trying, like, do you think that Americans are at a point right now where they're really impressed with elaborate displays of wealth? People are fucking sick of the Kardashians because of this.
Right.
And we've got, like, hours and hours of footage of them being, like, down to earth and likable and silly.
For at least the first 15 seasons.
Yeah, I don't even know how many seasons are.
It's like 100.
I don't know. I just.
But yeah, this was just
the jam
boring
thing too.
To me. It's just boring. Also, I think because I know that American Riviera Orchard has the word orchard in it. I still guess I just thought it was going to be like housewares or something.
From the strawberry orchard? Is that where it came from?
Ye old strawberry orchard. Or where I come from, patch.
Yeah, that's the word for it. It just seems like something. A few years ago, there was a couple of tech bros who tried to purchase, I think it was called, I think knitting.com. URL knitting.com. And they were like, we're going to disrupt the knitting market. Like, there's like all these and all these women, mostly because it is mostly women who do like embroidery, crochet, knitting, needlepoint, anything like that. They were like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, they got basically ran out of the business because
the Joanna Fabrics Hive rose up.
Exactly. Well, RIP Joanne Fabrics. I think they just declared bankruptcy. That's
oh, sorry.
Yeah, I know. They're like the best. They're so
the
much,
best of the best.
So much better than Michael's, and it makes me so sad. But like, it's just, I don't know that, like, trying to break into the, like, crafty gal space makes a lot of sense. Like,
unless you're like devotedly crafty.
Right.
Like,
that's
if
your thing.
She were someone, that's the thing. That's Erin, you just hit the nail on the head. If she were someone who, over however many years, had shown us that she was like a crafty person or really loved being in the kitchen or loved fruit, like, you know,
right.
It would make a little bit more sense. But this is just like, okay.
Can strawberries even grow in Montecito? Is it
Who
too
knows?
Mediterranean for them? Like, does it? I don't know.
Here's the question. Do you think the fruit's coming from Montecito? I mean, I would hope so,
it's
given the name.
It's probably coming from the Central Valley. It's because we grow, like, California is America's fruit basket, bread basket, you know?
Thank God for California.
I know. Everybody would be fucked without us. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Biggest port, grow most of the more vegetables than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
avocados, you'd be SOL. But yeah, I don't know. It just seems like she's trying to do something. She's trying to get into a business that is well established, doesn't really have a need for more people doing it.
Right.
And she doesn't really know anything about the parts of the business.
Right. Like, there's nothing about her that screams, I'm an ambassador for fruit.
Yeah. It's weird. Okay, I respect this. And like, I think Meghan Markle did not deserve to be bullied and treated so terribly by the royal family. I think she is an engaging actress. I don't think that she's Martha Stewart, and I don't think that she's Kamala Harris, and I don't think that she's any of these things that she's trying to be.
She should just be her.
Yeah, which, you know, show us what it is. I guess like—
Tell us. We'll be— Because now, of course, after I have said that this is petty, you know I'm going to be following everything this stupid company drops for the next 6 months. Because I'm basic and pathetic myself.
Well, at least she's not making another podcast just this second.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria.
It was a good one.
It was a lean and mean episode. You and I are both very tired and have too much going on.
But we're still killing it.
We're still doing what we can. That's all we can do is what we
can.
And
I get to see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see each other in person this week.
IRL.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm coming on Friday, by the way.
Oh,
okay. I'm RSVPing right now.
Okay. I've taken that in.
Okay. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Listeners, hysteria@crooked.com is a good way to get in touch. We love you. You guys are the best. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Fiona Pestana is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Megan Patzel. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolate, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week. Yes.